Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word, to be able to dig deep into your scriptures and find that faith-building knowledge that comes from that, and find that confidence in knowing that your scriptures are true, true and accurate all the way back to the very first verse, all the way through to the last verse. We thank you so much for your word. Help us as we open it and study, and give us exactly what you want us to receive tonight. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Like I say, let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Now, there are many translations of the Bible out there, and there are many commentaries out there. And I'm going to tell you a few things about one of the commentaries that has led to a lot of false teaching, a lot of incorrect teaching. Not intentional, but incorrect teaching, and has led a lot of people away from God instead of to God. Notes that was put together by a man that is still today very respected in his knowledge of the scriptures. But let's just read a couple verses here, and then I'm going to go over some notes that was written by this man, and see if you can identify the man before I reveal who he is. Okay, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." These are the things I want to go over first, and then we'll get into the second part. One of the things that has been taught, there was a big rise of evolution because of Darwin and his writings. People think that Darwin invented the whole theory of evolution and so forth, which he did not. He just popularized it and wrote a few books that got very popular and are still used today. Evolution has been around all the way back. There's even some references to things back in the days of the Greeks and so forth. In Jesus' day, people believing in things like evolution and millions of years and so forth. So it's not a new concept. It's not something that they just come up with in the 1600s, 1700s, or 1800s or something like that. This goes way back. So don't credit Darwin for more than he should be credited for. He popularized evolution for sure, but he ain't the one to come up with the theory. And theory it is. It is a theory. And more so than a theory, it's actually become a religion, you might say. It takes a lot of faith to believe in evolution. It's a faith-based belief system. It is not based on fact. There's people out there that think it's based on fact. But if you talk to somebody who has very well educated in evolution itself, the theory of evolution, they will, if they are honest, admit that it's a faith-based concept or theory, because they have nothing that backs it up as truth. The scriptures back everything up as truth. They have never been wrong. Science has been wrong as far back as, well, what they call science today. Because you go to the true definition of science, science is basically the gathering of information. So if you gather information, you're dealing with gathering the truth, that is correct. But the sense the word is being used today as science is the belief systems of the people that call themselves scientists. Well, one of the things that occurred back during the Scopes trial and a few things like that was a marrying of, or a joining of the church with science. Too many Christians gave up. They backed off, said, okay, these scientists are way smarter than us. They went to all these colleges. Most of the preachers back there did not go to colleges. So they said, okay, these guys must be way smarter than me. So how can I fit millions of years into the Bible? Because how many of you out there have been taught that there are millions, that the earth was created so many billion years ago or so many millions of years ago? Any of you have ever been taught that? Yeah. Basically everybody, pretty much everybody in school today. That's the norm. They don't even call it a theory anymore in school today. They call it fact. They just use the word evolution as being something that occurred. It did not. It didn't occur. They have no proof that it ever occurred. Never has been any kind of proof that it has ever occurred. No cross-linked species or anything like that can say that it occurred. Millions of years is a theory as well. There is no dating process known to man that is accurate that can say that anything has occurred millions of years. It's all theory. It's based on assumptions. Scientists that make assumptions. Scientists that work off somebody else's work that was worked off of an assumption or a guess. And then they just piles on misinformation on top of more misinformation. And then all of a sudden, well, it's like they say, the longer and louder you can broadcast the lie, the more likely it is that it'll be believed as the truth. So if you can broadcast the lie long enough and loud enough, people will assume that it's true. And that's what happened with the whole evolution thing. Okay, going back to during, like, right after the Scopes trial and so forth, in that time period, a lot of the churches caved and started thinking, okay, we got to fit all this science in all these millions of years somewhere into the Bible. How can we do that? Where can we place millions of years in our Bible? Because if you read the Bible, it's very clear. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1 of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said the light was that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and morning were the first day. One day, a day, 24-hour period, because it gives so many references here. There's three references. It gives a number. First, he gives evening and the morning, another indication that it's a 24-hour period. And it's so clear that he's trying to tell us here three different indicators that it is a 24-hour period, not millions of years. Now, there is what they call the gap theory. The gap theory tries to wedge millions of years into the space between verses 1 and verses 2. There is no gap in my Bible which says there's millions of years in there. If you read that, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. It doesn't say, and millions of years later, the earth was without form and void. No, it makes no sense whatsoever. When God created everything that we know of that exists in the beginning, He started out. He gives us this detailed look at the process that He did from creation. In the beginning, He created the heaven and the earth. Before He created the sun, before He created any of the other planets, before any of the other galaxies, if you go back out, you know, and look at night, a nice clear night, and see all those stars way out in the skies, on the fourth day He created those. A nice little side note, and it says, and He created the stars also. And he, down in verse 16, He made the stars also. Just throw a little second thought there. Just, oh yeah, by the way, I made all these beautiful stars. Beyond our ability to even count or see how many there is out there. He just decided to throw them in on the, you know, little leftover stuff here. I'll just scatter this out here and make all these galaxies out in the universe. I mean, it's just awesome. But anyhow, let me get back to this. The key I want to make, or key point I want to make, is this is one of the spots where they try to insert millions of years into the Bible. Instead of looking at the Bible as the authoritative Word of God, and then adapting science to fit the Bible, too many people have tried to adapt the Bible to fit science, which is backwards. You don't do it that way. This is the authoritative Word of God. This is the truth here. Anything that is contrary to what God says is not true. And there is no gap here. There is no place there. One of the things they start saying is, well, one preacher I've heard preach very strongly that, well, God wouldn't create anything that was formless or void. He's telling us how He did it step by step. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Why was it without form and void? He had not yet created plants, animals, or man. It was without any form because He had not yet separated the waters. He had not yet raised the land separate from the sea. So He had the basis right here. He had His raw material. He's telling us step by step. But then they say, well, He wouldn't create nothing that's unfinished. He's given us the details of how He finished it step by step. But yet they say, okay, this is a good place to insert the millions of years. No, it isn't. Total speculation, and they put in something in the Bible that's not in there. And the earth was without form and void. He's given us His basis that He started with. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. He had not yet created light. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, because the entire planet was covered with water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. This is where one of the people makes one of these scholars makes a mistake, assuming that this is when He created the sun and the moon. Do you have to have the sun in order to have light? We've got light in here. The light shining on my head. That don't come from the sun. Everything that we have in our life or around us that creates light, the ability for that, whatever it is, to emit light, God created that reaction. He created light. The ability, the process of light. For God to have created the darkness, the light and the darkness, He did not have to have the sun yet. Remember that. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, separated them. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Evening and the morning were the first day. So, okay, envision this. You have division in the nothingness, because He spoke everything into existence. Now, this is Jesus Christ that makes this speaking. He is the one that is the Word. And it makes a reference to that in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because first word here, first use of the word God, in the beginning God, is a plural, Trinity plural, which is the Holy Trinity reference to that. That word is Elohim. Okay, back over to this. In the evening and morning. So this is when He started the rotation of the earth. In order to have an evening and a morning. Because He had the light and the darkness. And He rotates that around. First 24-hour period. So this is when God created time. The very beginning of time itself was the first day. The beginning. You hear the term prehistoric mentioned. That's a word Christians should never use. Because there is nothing prehistoric to a Christian. Because we have it all the way, history all the way back to day one. So there is no prehistoric. The only prehistoric that you could even stretch out and say that exists is the fact that God existed before time, before history. God did exist before history. So the only thing that you can refer to as ever being prehistoric would be the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, God Himself. Okay, in verse 2 here it says, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. Everything was like this huge, big ball of water in vapor form, and water on the surface of the planet. And he separates that so that there's an opening. And he has this massive shield over the earth, which is called the firmament. Well, the space in between these waters is called the firmament. So you have this massive shield over the earth, protecting the earth from the solar system, from the radiation, and from the harmful effects of the sun when you go out and get sunburned and so forth like that. This shield would protect the earth from that, creating the perfect greenhouse effect, what people these days think is a bad thing. Okay, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. There again, evening and morning were the second day. Letting you know. Another rotation, the second day. Second 24-hour period. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So one place. It wasn't Africa and Australia and Europe and Asia and all these different continents. It was not divided into continents originally. We had one great big area of landmass that had ocean all around that. It wasn't islands and so forth. It was all the landmass was gathered together in one place. Because it says right here, he gathered together unto one place and let the dry land appear, and it was so. So prior to the flood, everything was all together in one continent. The effects of the flood, which if we have time, yeah, we got 3.5 more hours. The effects of the flood broke up the continents and shifted them around and pulled them apart. Because if you go over here, this great big map we got in the hallway over here, and look at it, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. You could take that piece and slide it over here. You could take North and South America, and over here you look at Africa, and you could fit it, and you can tell, right, like it should go back together. The entire Earth, if you took a globe and you cut out each one of the continents, you put them all back together and see, hey, this is close to what the original continent looked like that God created here on this day that he mentioned here, on the third day. Okay, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Now, he didn't go out here and start sowing a bunch of grass seeds and sowing a bunch of apple seeds and different tree seeds. When he created a tree, he created a tree, a complete mature tree with fruit ready to produce more seeds, which would produce more trees right off the bat, instantly. It wasn't, okay, let's go plant all this stuff and wait till it grows up. He didn't do that. He created it all ready to go, just like it says. In the evening, in verse 13, in the evening and the morning were the third day. So here he's got daylight, he's got dark, he's got time, he's got the one big continent, he's got it separated, he's got the open sky, he's got this beautiful shield over top of the entire earth, and it's a perfect setting for, and he's telling us step by step what has happened, what he has done. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Now he sets in place. He makes the sun and the moon in the firmament that he's speaking of there. And why? This is our timepieces. This is what we can adjust our year, our month, our seasons. All can be adjusted and determined by the place of us in relation to the moon and the sun. We can see this for signs of the seasons and for the clock. I mean, that's how we get our month. That's how we get our years. We get our week because God put together the week right here, the 7 days of creation. He put that together. That's the only reference we have to week is the creation. It's not from any solar effect or any stars or sun or moon or any of that. It's all based on what God laid out for us. Okay, now that's the key thing here I want to point out, that he made on the fourth day. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, which of course we know is the sun, the lesser light to rule the night, which we know is the moon. He made the stars also. He just throws that little note in. He made the stars also, which is all those vast universes out there. If you've ever had an opportunity to see a movie that was put together by a PhD named Jason Lyle called The Created Cosmos, I highly recommend that. If you can get your hands on that, if you want a copy of it, let me know. I can connect you up. Well, if you go to my website, you can link over to answersingenesis.com and order it through their website, or you can go on my website and log over to it. But anyhow, you can get Created Cosmos by Jason Lyle. And he goes through the universes. It's really neat the way he starts out right there at the Creation Museum in Hebron, Kentucky. And he zooms out with satellite photos and so forth. And he zooms out farther and farther. And then he goes out farther and farther and farther out to the farthest out reaches that we can have got any kind of notion of existing that we have been able to see with our telescopes and so forth. And it's just amazing how big this universe is and how tiny the Earth is down in the middle of all this. Yet he created that Earth, a tiny little dot in all this massive universe first, and made it unique to be a home for us. And then he throwed all this other stuff out there and made it just to make the sky beautiful. Just, you know, hey, let's do that too. It's just awesome when you think about it. But that's a neat movie if you get a chance to watch that. Okay, now the point I want to make is that the belief system of the individual that I spoke of earlier was that the sun and the moon was created on the first day when he created the light. And he had some other flaws in his notes. It's actually kind of disturbing when you read this. And this, I'll tell you this about this individual. Very, very intelligent man, and he went to his grave regretting these notes that he put in, and it was published. He later discovered his error. They would not let him change it because it had already went out in publication. They wouldn't let him change it, and he went to his grave regretting putting these notes in. And well, let's get into a couple of them here. Okay, the Bible begins with God, not with philosophic arguments of His existence. Scripture gives no data for determining how long ago the universe was created. We just determined when the universe was created. It says so right in the Bible, on the first day. He created all the stars and stuff on the fourth day, which He could consider that being the universe. But we have the exact time. We know exactly when it was created. Within a few years. Because you can take the Bible and you can go back through all those begats and begots and the whole genealogy all the way back to Adam. And we know the timeline. There are countless books out there today and charts and big foldouts that you can get that show the timeline from today all the way back to creation. It's roughly 6,000 years. So we know from the Bible. It tells us. But this man, this brilliant man, made that mistake and wrote this note in there, which set up in a lot of Christians' minds the doubts of the accuracy of what Genesis tells them. So then they start thinking, well, huh, I wonder what else is wrong in this book. If you can't believe the first book, why believe anything else here? So let's continue here, some more of his notes here. This one here, only three creative acts of God are recorded in this chapter, the heavens and the earth, animal life, and human life. The first creative act refers to the dateless past. There is no dateless past because there is nothing prior to day one other than the existence of God. Nothing that we could have any reference to. Okay, two main interpretations have been advanced to explain the expression without form and void. The first, which may be called the original chaos interpretation. This is a very disturbing theory and a belief system, the chaos theory. The chaos theory is that this is when Satan fell, that the whole fall of Satan occurred between verses 1 and verses 2. and that there was a war upon the earth, and it destroyed all the creation that was on the earth. And that battle that occurred on the earth is what buried the dinosaurs, was this chaos theory. And that's when Satan fell. We know that's wrong, because the Bible makes a reference to Satan having the name of Lucifer and being in the Garden of Eden in Ezekiel. So here, if Lucifer, because that was his glorious name, he meant anointed cherub when he was still a beautiful creation of God in the Garden of Eden. So if he was in the Garden of Eden, how could that fall have been back before day one, even in the chaos period that he identifies here? Another major mistake, and another area where people really get it confused, because they think that's when Satan fell. Satan fell in chapter 3 of Genesis when he tried to mess up God's plan and tempted Adam and Eve. That is when Satan fell. It was not back between verses 1 and 2 of the Scriptures. Okay, neither here nor in verse 14 through 17, an original creative act implied. A different word is used. The sense is made to appear or made visible. He's speaking of the sun and the moon here. The sun and the moon were created in the beginning. The light came from the sun, of course, but the vapor diffused the light. Later, the sun appeared in an unclouded sky. That's not what the Scripture says at all. It tells us, we just read exactly what it said. On the fourth day, he created the sun and the moon. He created light before he created the sun and the moon. These writings, many of you probably have in your Bible. It's the Scofield Bible. It's the Scofield notes, the Scofield footnotes. Scofield got it wrong. He got it very wrong, terribly wrong. And he caused a lot of people to be confused about millions of years, about when Satan fell, about when the sun and moon was created, and opened up doubts, opened that door of doubt up to millions of people's minds to believe lies about creation and so forth in the millions of years because of those notes. But as I said, he corrected that. He tried his best to stop that from being published, but it was too late. He went ahead and went out and was published. All the millions of people that have been set astray, that have lost their faith in God because of footnotes like this that are found in the Scriptures. You've got to remember, like I say so many times in our class, if it's below the line in the Bible, it's commentary, it's some guy's opinion. If he can't back it up with Scriptures, it's some guy's opinion. So never depend on some guy's opinion. Look at the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures for yourself. And pray, and the Holy Ghost will reveal the truth to you. And it's very clear. It's laid out very clear. Take it for what it says, read it for what it says, and believe what it says. Don't put science into the Bible. The Bible is the true source of information, not mankind. You can put your faith in man, or you can put your faith in God. And the authoritative Word of God is flawless. And if there's anybody that ever comes along and says otherwise, you got to doubt what they've said. Now, Scofield has very many good commentaries. I can't, you know, debunk the whole revised version that Scofield has. Definitely do not believe anything he has to say about creation, because it's totally wrong. And he himself went to his grave regretting that those went out in publication. So you got to remember that as well. What I wanted to accomplish tonight is to show you that there is no room in the Bible for millions of years. There is no room in the Bible or in Christian life to believe in evolution. There's no room in a Christian's life to say, okay, evolution is true, but God's in control of it. He just runs everything. No, there is no evolution. God created things exactly like He wanted them created.